so you know, I just, I got an allergy.
Is this working battery?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so, you know. Okay, I guess the first question is, what year you came over to the United States?
1907.
Uh-huh. And you came through New York, right?
Correct.
The reason for coming, did you have family over or not?
I had my father and mother in the island of Rhodes back home,
mm-hmm.
and three sisters,
mm-hmm.
and six more brothers. In 1909, I brought two brothers here.
Uh-huh.
In 1912, I brought the entire family.
From working here?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I from New York, I went to Seattle, and that's where I made my home till 1952. Then we moved to Los Angeles in 1952.
How did you travel from New York to Seattle?
I traveled by train from Seattle to New York, and it took us 7 days. We arrived in Seattle and wooden chairs, and we didn't sleep during the night, except that we were laying on wooden seats. Canadian Pacific Railway is correct. And so what else you want to ask me?
I was wondering, did you stay very long in New York when you first came over?
8 days.
What did you do there?
I was only a youngster. I don't believe I was even 14 years old. A water boy. They were paving the Bronx.
In the Bronx. The boroughs of New York.
What borough?
It's one of the boroughs.
One of the boroughs in New York. I couldn't speak English, but my brother-in-law was living in Seattle, which he was there about 3 years ahead of me. So I sent and he sent me $50 in order to have the pay for the fare from Seattle to
from
New York to Seattle. But when I left home, my father gave me 7 English pounds. At that time, it amounted $35. Each pound was $5.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the storage boat from Greece, Patras, to New York, and it took 14 days. We were 14 days in the Atlantic Ocean, and I had $20 left when I arrived in New York City. And when I arrived in Seattle, I still have about $18 left.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the way to travel.
So,
cheaply.
Then the minute I arrived in Seattle, I was taken care of by my brother-in-law, and so I immediately started making a little money. I was making about $8 a week. And I was doing a shine shoes. Then, and I was only paying $2 a month for rooming. We rented a house about eight immigrants. The newcomers, we couldn't speak the language well. I had no other chance to get another position in kind of the language. That's so forth. Therefore, mm-hmm. I had to do shine shoes and make and do the best I can. And so I immediately started sending $10 a month to my folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I send for my two brothers $100 for them to come to the United States, which they did. They arrived in Seattle 1909.
And did you run all that money just from the shoeshine?
Yes. Uh-huh. And because I used to give tips and
my salary?
$8 a week, and breakfast only cost me 5 cents, and lunch was only 10 cents, sometimes even a nickel.
How did you handle the room and board?
And then I was able to cook. Uh-huh. And I used to cook and serve meals to the other 7 people that we were in the house together,
rooming
together. And I used to charge him 10 cents and give him a good meal every night. So therefore, mine didn't cost me anything. That's why I started to save money. Uh-huh. And in 1909, so I was capable to buy, to be for myself. And I had I started cleaning shoes for ladies, and I had a place in one of the leading shoe stores in Seattle, only for ladies, cleaning shoes and shine shoes for ladies, and I had 3 boys working for me at that time, and that's when I began to make a little money, and I was conservative type. I believe a clean life, and that's how I managed to bring my entire folks here.
I was wondering, were there very many religious leaders in Seattle before you?
Yes. Before me, there was in 1904, there was only 2 people from the island of Rhodes. His name was Nis Nissim, Nissin, or Haddad, Halhadef. He was the pioneer. He was the George Washington from the island.
Really?
That came here.
How do you remember that? Just from memory, huh?
Yeah.
That's good information.
Then he made, he was here for about, from 1904 to 1906. Then he went back home, and he married back home, and he brought his wife with him. He came back in 1907. And what he did, he used to peddle fish on a basket, with a basket on his arm, from house to house. And he was also one hard-working man, and he became very, very wealthy. And right after the war, First World War, when he lost everything he had on the crash, but somehow or another, he became right back again. And he was one of the leading fish companies in Seattle.
And what name?
A Wish Fish Company and Palace Fish Company. And he also had all his brothers and family relations working for him. And now the boy's taken over, and he's not living today. Mr. Harev is dead, but the boys are doing a good job now. In real estate and also in the banking business, and they...
You said he was the first one. Who else came before you?
And his brother-in-law David Israel, that's Tilly Russo that was here. I don't
know
if you know
her.
I've heard the name.
Well, yeah. Mother knows who she is.
Yeah, and...
It was her father.
Her father, yeah, came here in 19...
With the brother-in-law to this Mr. Nissim Halhadef.
And my brother-in-law also came here in 1906, which his brother sent for him.
That was also an Halhadef.
Halhadef. He was also Halhadef.
Do you know the first names?
His first name was Bahor. It's funny, I don't know his name. Joseph.
Oh, really?
He was known as Bahor.
Bahor, yeah. Joseph Halhadef.
He was married to his sister.
He was married to my older sister.
Uh-huh.
And there was only, when I came here, there was only 4 from the island of Rhodes. And
4 families?
Or? 4 families, and there were 6 from Turkey. Some from Marmara, some from Constantinople. And right after 1912, then Quite a few came from the island of Rhodes, so I would say about pretty close to 25 families.
At what time?
About
1912.
Yeah.
And that's when the people in Seattle began to build up a community. And today, I think, is the second largest Sephardic community in the United States. They work together, and we have a lot of prosperous people there. And some moved to Los Angeles, some of them still remain there. I think there is about, I don't know exactly how many families, I would say about pretty close to almost to 1,000 families there, maybe a little more.
Do you remember the names of the families that were there before you? There was the Ahada.
The Ahadev and David Israel and my brother Lord Joseph Ahadev and Jack what's the name?
This is the last one. This is 1970.
I mean, what's the name?
Whose name?
My niece's name. The one that her boy was here last week.
Oh, her Betty?
Yeah,
Betty. Sammy Alhada?
Yeah, what was her father's name?
He was not out of number.
No. His daughter married an Alhada. The name is on the tip of my tongue.
Isn't that something?
Well, let me look in the book. Maybe his picture is in there.
No, because he's not from Rhodes. He was
but
from Turkey.
The ones that you mentioned, they were
from Rhodes. Yeah.
Let me see.
The one that I'm going to mention now is from Turkey.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, Polikar.
Polikar.
Yeah, Jack Polikar, Marco Calvo. And Jack De Leon and Jack De Leon. Just a minute.
What are you trying to bring out?
The people that were there before they were like, okay. Also one of Nassim's brothers, other brothers, Salomon. Salomon Al Hadid was there.
And that's Rhodes Lee.
He's from the island of Rhodes, yes. He was brother of the first one that came here. He had three brothers here, two other brothers besides him. No, three brothers besides him. And
tells you that right here.
Huh?
The first of our congregation to arrive in Seattle was Nassim Al-Hadef in 1904. Yeah. Within 3 years, all his brothers and others followed
neither.
Him.
Uh-huh.
By 1909, the first steps of formal organization were taken.
Right.
You could borrow this if you want.
Actually, I got that one at home.
Oh, then you should look at it.
Yeah.
See, it tells you that. Uh-huh. And then it goes on telling you all more about the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to repeat it because some of it he already told you, but uh-huh. If you have the book.
What page?
I'm going to look through there.
Yeah, well, he could look through that just the way I found it.
I mean, what number, what's that page?
Page
20,
the
page
is not...
Do
you have a book?
Yeah, uh-huh. But with Joe, that's a great memory, Mr. Capito.
I remember when...
There's quite a bit of information you'll get from those newcomers.
Yeah.
I see that here because they were all memorialized here.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives you their history, when they came and everything.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you look in this book.
Uh-huh. Joe... I heard about this one person. I think his name was Abraham Hazan. He went up to Alaska.
He went.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he was also Abraham Hazan came to Seattle. He was there, and his brother was there too. He was a musician. He used to play the music, and he went to Nome, Alaska, to make a little extra money. And so he came back to Seattle for a while, and he and he got married, and then he moved to Los Angeles.
What year was that? Did he go to?
He came to Seattle 1909, and he went to Alaska 1910.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was there is that?
He went all the way up to Nome, Alaska.
And that's related to Abraham or something?
No, who? That's himself. He himself did that.
Oh, he himself did that.
Abraham Hazan.
Yeah.
So, I see.
He's the father of Mori Hazan.
So did he ever think about going to work in the gold mines at all?
What did he do when he went up to Mori
Hazan? Yeah, he worked in the gold mines.
He did?
Yes.
And also he was a musician also?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I see. That was a thing on the side just in case.
In case, yeah.
To pull back on something.
And was there anybody that went up there earlier than that, do you know, that went up to Alaska?
No, he was the only one.
He was the first one?
He was the first one.
Probably the only one at
that
time.
You
went to Alaska?
I went to Alaska also. I went to Alaska because a man owed me $6,000. And he had trouble with the federal. So I went back there and I see all my merchandise in the dock.
What year was that?
That was in 1937, and I went as far as Juneau, the capital of Alaska. Yeah.
There's a city in Alaska, it's called Cordova.
That's correct.
Now what was that named after? Do you have any idea?
No, my mother's name was Cordova, but didn't spell like the Cordoval, with L at the end. Most of the Cordovas changed their names here.
They used to be Cordoval?
Cordoval.
In Rhodesia?
Cordoval,
yeah.
That's the way it was pronounced. My mother's maiden name was Cordoval before he married my father.
You came when you were only around 14 years old. Like, how could you, you had a brother-in-law here. And so you came trying to establish yourself here, or just come here temporarily to make money and go back to
the Well, at that time, we come here because the country was progressing, and when I come here, there was no immigration regulation like they have now. It was open. Anybody could come here without the papers, without anything. All you have to do is you have to show that you have $15, $20, and then I think before the war, 1915 or 1916, that's when they start to
quarter.
Yeah.
But you didn't come with the idea of going back.
No, I come here because living conditions was better, We didn't have to suffer like we did back home, and not only that, then we did to make this country for ourselves.
When did Ben Arroyo come to Seattle?
Ben Arroyo came from he didn't come to Seattle straight. He went to Alabama.
Oh, because I just saw his name, and I know he was prominent.
Yeah.
Did anybody come with you on the boat?
Oh yes. You know? When I came to
this is the man that seen up on that.
Yeah. When I come to Seattle, well, you know, Bill Levy's uncle was also came with me, but he was taken by Hitler. He went back. He went back to the island of Rhodes, and then Hitler took him away. We were about 25, 30 families. We came in that together. Leon Pija came with me in the same boat. Bill Barrow. Then that time, you know, we were about pretty close to 35, 40 people in Seattle. And so every month they kept coming and coming, and that's when we organized, and we had a temple. And so we were living in same section. We built a temple in 1914. We built a temple in 1916 when we built a temple. Yeah. Does it say there?
It probably does.
Yeah.
So when you came, there were on the same boat, there were quite a few people with you?
Yes, from Rhodes and from Greece, from other parts of the...
Where did most of the Rhodes leaves go that were on the same boat? Did they stay in
to New Seattle? York? No.
Oh, they came along?
To Seattle, way? Because New York was rough, you know.
Did anybody at that time go down to Los Angeles, do you know?
No. No, Los Angeles only had about, I don't know, maybe, but didn't even have 100,000 population here.
Now, you were in Seattle, like, you know, quite early then.
Yes.
Do you remember, like, the first people that would come down to Los Angeles? Because they would probably come down through Seattle and Portland. Do you remember, like, what year the first ones started coming, or about when they came, or who they
from
might have
Seattle?
Been? Uh-huh.
Yes, the Mayos. And not Joe Mayo, but his uncles and Hassans, a few of the Hassans came here from Seattle. It was in 1914 they started to come to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And also some people from the Island of Rhodes, they were coming from New York and direct to Los Angeles.
You know who they are?
Joe Mayo.
Which Joe Mayo is that?
He's dead now. You know, Joe Mayo used to be in
Yeah.
He came directly from New York?
Yes.
Did you ever know Rahamin Benun?
Rahamin Benun used to be in Seattle. That was your uncle.
Yeah, my great uncle.
Yeah, we used to live together in the same house.
One night, I never... was that?
He came to Seattle in 1907, the same time I did.
On the same boat?
On the same boat, yes. And I think he moved here in 1912. And I can tell you a story about your uncle.
Go right ahead.
And he was living in the same house with me. One day, I don't know what happened, I was late coming home. So he went ahead and he started eating whatever I prepared from the night before. When I came home, there wasn't even nothing left for me, and so he dished it all out to the rest of the fellas. And I was upset, and he slapped me right in the face because I was just a young boy, you know. And boy, I can still feel it. He had a big hand, you know.
Oh, boy.
He slapped me right in the face.
What did he do when he was in Seattle?
He was shining shoes also.
Almost all of them.
All of them, with the exception of Nesim Al-Hadab. Yeah.
Wow. That's really something.
In 1909, I went to Vancouver, B.C.
Uh-huh.
I was only there for about 6 months, and I made a little money there also. Because Vancouver, British Columbia, was booming at that time. But being that I had some business in Seattle, I couldn't take care of both at the same time. The Seattle business would start deteriorating, so I moved back to Seattle. I was only in Vancouver a little over 6 months. Yeah.
What kind of money did you handle when you first came to Seattle?
When I first came to Seattle, they gave me American money for what I had, the British money.
What kind of money?
The American money, silver, no paper.
No paper money.
We never had no paper money in Seattle till the war, First World War. It was all gold, $2.50 gold pieces, $5 gold piece, $10 gold piece.
No silver, it was all gold? No, I mean in the money, whatever it was. Was it all gold, or was it silver and gold?
No, pure gold.
Oh, everything.
Oh, yes, you got one. And
never mind what I got.
Yeah, well, there was $10 and $20 gold pieces.
They didn't have a paper currency.
No,
they used
we didn't have no paper. We didn't even have pennies in Seattle at that time.
Well,
yeah.
What'd you use as a nickel?
There was
a dime.
A dime, the same as pure silver, yeah.
Dime was silver.
Silver.
Oh, right.
It was pure silver, yeah.
Right.
But instead of the dollar bills, they had gold pieces, yeah. $2.50 gold pieces, $5 yeah. gold pieces.
And $20.
$20.
Yeah.
That's, you know, quite a bit about that.
Yeah.
When, yeah, right.
And I never forget, after I left the shoeshine.
Uh-huh. In what year?
It was in 1912. So I started working in one of the leading stores in Seattle. In the receiving, we used to receive the merchandise and market, and then distribute it to the departments. And the name of that place was the Bon Marché. And I was getting $8 a week also there, but I was happy, and I worked there for a while, but it was a hard work. So what little English that I began to speak at that time, I got along all right. But one day I made up my mind that I was going to ask for more raise.
More money.
For more money, and they used to pay me in silver. And a little paper bag, every Monday was a payday. So I went to the manager, Mr. McGuire. All I'd say to him was, Mr. McGuire, I want a raise. And he looked at me and he gave me a funny look. And he told me, he asked me if I come from Missouri. I said, Missouri? No, Missouri. You're going to give me a raise? Yes or no? I quit.
And what did he do?
Then I quit. He says, no, I quit. And that's when I started going doing business for myself. In 1914, I went in a produce business. We bought a little market. We had groceries in small scale, but we were doing pretty good. From that time on, then in 1921, before that, 1919, then things began to go my way, in a good way. I had a market on a good section, and I had a good reputation of handling good merchandise, and I began to do all right, but I had a partner. And then he went back to the island to visit his folks. My partner.
Who was that?
Ed Tarica, T-A-R-I-C-A. And then I began to be by myself. In 1922, I began to supply to restaurants, hospitals, and private institutions, clubs, and also steamship companies. Was a semi-wholesaler, and I had retail and wholesale. By 1932, I become strictly a wholesaler produce house. I built up a good big business, and I had about 14 people working for me. And the name of the company was Capoletto Brothers. And in fact, the Capoletto Brothers still exist in Seattle. My brothers are still running the produce house. And that's when I began to... But in 1951, I retired. Then, being that it was raining so much and I couldn't take the weather, then I made up my mind to move to Seattle, to Los Angeles. And we've been here now 20 years. August will be 20 years since we moved to Los Angeles.
When you were in Rhodes, did you hear of any city besides Seattle and New York that you were going to go to? Did you ever hear of Montgomery or?
No, all I heard was New York, Seattle.
Really? That's
yeah.
all, huh?
And they, oh, I heard San Francisco, they had earthquake in San Francisco.
You heard that in Rhodes?
And yes.
Really?
And they said they're trying to make me change my mind not to come to this country, because we didn't know that Seattle and San Francisco were so far apart.
Uh-huh.
We thought it was just a little, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't care if there was an earthquake or I made up my mind to come here, and that was it.
Boy, that's, I don't want to, that's great.
The congregation is then.
Thank you.